If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And before I read to you this passage, let me tell you a story. My very first midnight movie that I ever went to in my life, I was 12 years old. And I happened to be spending the night with a buddy, and his big brother who drove took us. And man, I was so excited. I had never been to a midnight movie. And I thought, man, this is going to be so cool. And the place was packed in our little town because it may have been one of the first midnight movies. What the movie was playing, I don't fully remember, not really for sure. But one thing I do know, though I walked in and found my seat, like many of you do, at the very back because there were no seats available any other place. Man, I was pumped because I was with the big boys, and I was 12 years old. And the movie started. And somewhere in the early part of the movie, I zoned out and honestly went to sleep. I stayed asleep in that dark theater through the entire movie. And my friend, whose brother had brought us, had to nudge me and wake me up after the movie had concluded because it was now time to go home. So here's what happened. I slept through the entire movie. I, to this day, have never seen that particular movie again. I haven't seen it on video. In fact, quite frankly, when I woke up, I was embarrassed. Honestly, I was disappointed. And lastly, I was uninformed. I felt like a child when I was with the big boys. And as a child, I wanted to feel like one of the big boys. But because I fell asleep, I woke up feeling like what I was, a child. The passage that I want to read to you this morning happens to be just about along those lines. It's not a midnight movie, but it is a problem, a major problem in the garden. So once you follow along with me as I read to you the story, and in it, you are going to see one of the commands of Christ that is very applicable for our lives today. So why don't you follow along, beginning in verse 36 of Matthew 26. Here's what the scripture says. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, by the way, that's James and John, along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, the passage that I want you to focus in on is verse 46. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't think there is one of us who would disagree that our spirits are willing often, but our flesh is very weak. It's the struggle that we deal with. But in this passage, I want you to see a couple of things as we look at this command of Jesus to watch and pray. So, therefore, let's look at this command to contemplate. There in verse 41, he says it clearly, watch and pray. Oh, that phrase, watch and pray, is used several different times in several different ways in Scripture. First of all, it's used in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. You remember Nehemiah was leading a host of Israelites to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem, but his enemies did not want that wall rebuilt. And so they began to use fear and deceit and threats to discourage them. And the Bible tells us in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, verse 9, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard and day and night to meet this threat. And he told them to watch and pray. Remember, they also worked with a spear, a sword by their side. And they were ready for the enemy as they continued to build. And they were encouraged to watch and pray. And then again, in this passage that we have read, in the garden where the problem really is revealed with sleeping and not being able to do the command of Christ, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, watch and pray. And then other times in Scripture that Jesus says, watch and pray, it is reference to being on guard, just like in Mark 13, verse 33, where Jesus says, be on guard, be alert, you do not know when that time will come. And that time he's referring to is the second coming. And so you see that referred to multiple times. So he is asking his disciples to watch and pray there in the garden, to watch and pray ready for the second coming. And as well, we find this spiritual principle in the Old Testament that as we work for the Lord, as we do what he calls us to do, as we are doing it, we are to watch and pray. So therefore, it is important that we grab hold of that. Paul would later on carry that theme a little bit further there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, when he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So this praying always and watching is a very important theme. Paul would also say in Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then the man who fell asleep there in the garden that created the angst, undoubtedly, with the rest of the body there, he writes later on at the end of his life, there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of things, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now, when the New Testament speaks of watch, there are usually two Greek words that are used to describe this concept of watch. But regardless of which word is used, the meaning is simply this: stay awake be sleepless. That's what it's saying. Stay awake, be sleepless. So this is a metaphorical, in a spiritual sense, that we are to stay awake and have spiritual insight into what God is doing and to be able to look diligently at what is happening around us and what is about to happen in the days to come. In essence, what this verb is saying, this command is saying, keep your eyes open and your knees down. Watch, keep your eyes open, keep your knees down, pray. Eyes open, knees down. Spurgeon once said that to pray without watching is hypocrisy. To watch without praying is presumption. God wants his children to understand that watching and understanding what is happening all around them literally is a very, very important thing, and it complements how you pray, and praying complements your watching. And so that's important for us to grab hold of. Now, Warren Wiersbe, the great commentator, has said that Nehemiah's watching and praying was simply a description of praying with your eyes open. That's a great concept. A lot of us, when we pray, we feel like we physically must close our eyes. I remember as a kid growing up that sometimes I would cry when I would pray. And you know what the deal was? I felt like, well, if God hears you when you close your eyes, when you pray, well, maybe he'll hear you better if you close them real tight. And that's exactly what a lot of us do. We're more focused on keeping our eyelids shut in reverence rather than keeping our eyes open, understanding what's going on. And that's very, very important for us to grab hold of today. This watching and praying is essential. This literally means to be on guard as a believer. Be on guard against our culture. At the same time, as you are watching with intelligence and alertness, you are able to stay on duty and stay on the front lines as a believer. So this is very, very important. It's a command of Christ. Watch and pray. We could not leave our Red Letters series without looking at this specific command of Christ. Watch and pray. There's a second thing I want you to look at, and that is the benefit to receive. Now, listen to what Jesus says here in this verse one more time. He says in verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, what does that mean? Well, the context and the meaning of this word temptation is not necessarily about sin. The real clarity for the interpretation of this particular word is, quite frankly, is trial and testing. So this is not the aspect of watching and praying so that you won't be tempted to sin, but the real focus is watch and pray so that you will not fall into a time of testing and trial in your life. Do you understand that? Now, quite frankly, it may involve sin and the temptation to sin, but the emphasis is on watching and praying that you keep your eyes open and you don't go where you don't really want to go and find yourself on roads that you do not want to travel and never intended to go on because you saw that there was a sign ahead that described the road conditions. That's what this passage is about. He's saying, I want you to keep your eyes open, keep alert, and you need to seek God so that you do not take yourself into a time of difficulty and problems personally because your eyes weren't open and your knees weren't down. That's what he's saying. You know, a lot of us find ourselves in upside-down situations because we just went into something emotionally. We went into something because we were following other people, and we went into going in a certain direction or made a certain decision because we thought it was logical and the thing to do at the time. And regardless of who prompted us to go that way, we did not really see and we did not really understand. And we find out sometimes that hindsight is 20/20. That's a great phrase. It's been used a lot of times. And we realize, man, had I had this decision to make over again, I wouldn't have walked down that way. And that's what Jesus is saying. You need to watch and pray, knees down, eyes open, so that you don't go in a direction or in a place where you don't want to go. In fact, here's what I'm going to tell you. Watching produces discernment. Prayer will produce action. In other words, as you watch and you look at what is occurring all around you, God's going to show you as you seek Him and are sensitive to Him in those times that you are trying to discern what is happening, what your next steps should be. And so this is essential that you grab hold of that and understand it. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were really trying to watch and you were really trying to seek God's will, wouldn't it make sense that He would use your common sense and the insight that He would give you in your spirit not to go down a road that had a sign that says bridge out? If you saw a sign that said bridge out, and then you, in another 100 yards, you said, saw another sign, and it said, bridge out, and it was blinking with yellow lights, and then another 100 yards, there was another sign that said, bridge out, and it's red lights blinking. Would you keep the pedal to the metal and think, oh, they're just kidding? Or would you stop, pull off the side of the road, Google what's going on in the traffic and find out if they're doing construction and try to find the nearest exit so you did not find yourself crashed, burned, or all wet? Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, the same thing is true spiritually. God wants us to be watching and praying so that we can read the road signs in life. And there are enough road signs in life to tell us which way we should go and which way we shouldn't go. It's kind of like the old story that maybe you've heard of the man who heard that a flood was coming and everybody in his neighborhood began to leave left and right. And as he watched them leave, one of his neighbors said to him, Joe, we got to get out of here. There's a flood coming. He looked at that neighbor and he said, listen, I became a Christian in '06, and the Lord promised always to take care of me. I'm staying. So his neighborhood evacuated. Finally, the waters began to rise and higher, and he found himself up on a roof. And just then, one of the civil defense, sheriff department, boats came by and said, Joe, hop in the boat. The water's going to keep rising. We can take you to safety. And Joe yelled out to the captain of the boat, I gave my life to the Lord in '06, and he promised to take care of me. I'm staying. Well, the waters kept rising and rising. Soon he was on the pinnacle of his roof, and a helicopter came by, dropped a ladder, and he heard from the captain with a loud voice and a bullhorn speaker saying, grab hold of the rope. The floodwaters are coming even stronger. You will drown. And Joe looked up, standing on the pinnacle, and he said, I gave my life to the Lord in '06. He promised to always take care of me. I'm staying. The helicopter realized he couldn't pilot couldn't force the man to leave. And sadly, Joe died. He met the Lord face to face. And the Lord said, Joe, I'm glad you're here. Glad you are here. Welcome to heaven. Do you have any questions? And Joe said, you know, I gave my life to you in '06, and you promised to always take care of me. why did you let me drown? And the Lord said, well, let me look here. And he opened his book and he said, why, Joe, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. You know, that's exactly how a lot of us live. We are not expecting, quite honestly, God to do something logical, not to give us a sign with clarity, when in reality, that's how God speaks. Whether you want to call it an open door or a closed door, you don't always have to have a particular promise in the Word of God that has your name on it to know logically, don't put your hand in the fire. You're going to get burned. God will give you discernment, and He will help you see clearly what you are to do if you'll just open your eyes and look at what is happening all around you. There are a lot of people that are conflicted about Christianity. They think, well, man, it's all faith, and there is a conflict with logic. God uses logic, and He uses circumstances and people to tell us, bridge out. Don't go that way. Don't move in that direction. And that's exactly maybe what He's trying to tell you today. Watch, keep your eyes open, be able to discern what is going on, and pray, asking God to give you that unction to take the next step. So you realize that there is a great benefit here to understand what happens when you live a life of being watchful and prayerful at the same time. There's a third thing I want you to see, and that's a model to imitate. Jesus watched and prayed, and He emulates the model for us to follow. And so, therefore, I will tell you a couple of things. As Jesus watched and prayed, you and I are to watch and pray. Jesus was always mindful of the environment that He was in, the circumstance He found Himself in, the people who were coming in contact with Him. He was very mindful of their plots, and He was mindful of what they were feeling. He was very aware of that. And He prayed, seeking God's direction. So therefore, as a believer, when you and I imitate the model of being watchful with our eyes open and our knees down, we imitate the example of Jesus, and therefore several things happen in our life. Let me give you about 10 of them. This is not an all-inclusive list, but just a couple of them. As you watch and pray with Christ as to what He wants you to do based upon where you are right now, you're going to find it true that you will count yourself privileged to partner with God in accomplishing His plan. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was inviting these disciples to join Him in the most intense struggle that He would ever face physically before the cross. And He was inviting them to partner with Him. And what will happen in your life, you will consider it a privilege to be a partner with God in what He is doing. Number two, as you watch and pray, you're going to be keenly aware of the personal battle that you have with your own sin nature. As you look at your environment and you look at not only the temptations and the draws and the opportunities, you will realize that many times your flesh will want to take you down a road that God doesn't want you to travel. And you're going to be aware of that struggle with your flesh as you watch and pray. Someone who's not watching and prayerful will just kind of feel like this is the way to go. And they're going to find themselves down a dark alley because of the draw of their sin nature. Number three, what will happen is that as you watch and pray, you will choose to align your values with the Scriptures rather than with the world. So you see, when you're watchful and prayerful, you are trying to watch what God is showing you and prayerful as to what you are to do. Therefore, your values will begin to align with what the Word of God says and not what you see around you. Now, we're living in a day and time where the entire world is on another agenda and has another value system that is at odds with the Word of God. And there are a lot of believers who are living with their eyes shut and their ears open to the words of other people rather than to the direction of the Word of God. And somehow or another, there are some who are reinterpreting the values of their lives based upon what is politically expedient and socially acceptable today. And the reason people do that is because they're not being watchful and prayerful. They're not aligning with the Word of God. They're aligning with the world. And what will happen in your life is you're watchful and you're watching what God is wanting you to see and you're prayerful, listening to what He wants you to do. It's going to align you with the Word of God. Otherwise, again, you will be aligned with the world. Number four, what will happen is, as you watch and pray, you will find yourself refusing to be seduced by the benefits of the world system, which offers whatever they will give you in allegiance for your silence. It's very important that you understand that the world wants you to agree with its values, and it will offer you acceptance and applause if either you will verbally agree or at least keep silent. And as a child of God, as you're watchful and prayerful, God will give you the right stance to take and the right words to say if you'll listen to Him. If you align with the Word of God and you align with Jesus as you watch and pray with Him, it's going to number five, draw strength for you because of your fellowship with Christ and time in the Word of God. Because you're going to realize that you're going to need the playbook, and the Word of God is the playbook. It describes how this world is going to eventually end. It prophesies with very clear statements that have not yet occurred that gives us a description of what will be. And you and I can draw strength knowing that God has a plan and we're part of that redemptive history. And as you watch and pray with Christ, He will give you that strength that you need to punch right on through whatever you've got to walk through. Number six, you'll be able to detect and respond scripturally to heretical teaching. As you watch and pray, you're going to be able to have the kind of discernment to understand what is wrong and what is right. You will be able to listen to people who teach and preach. You will be able to read books and watch whatever is happening in the media, and you'll be able to validate whether it is off-center or off-bubble and is not truly the Word of God. And you'll be able to respond to it scripturally because God will show you in His Word. You see, a lot of people just go with the flow. They go with the emotion. And whatever the crowd is going or whatever seems popular or whatever seems encouraging to them at the moment, they think that must be from God, when in reality, it may be heresy. And there are a lot of people who have bought into the chili of individuals that have come up with their own theology of how to live life based upon what they say, and they quote from the book of Isaiah most of the time. And you and I, as we're watchful and prayerful, we'll be able to understand what is heretical and what is not. And that's important. As a believer, don't buy off and chew and swallow and digest food that is bad for you. God wants you to be able to listen and observe and understand and interpret what someone is saying and what someone is teaching and what is the source of their authority. Not everybody who says this is what Scripture is all full of Scripture. And you need to understand that. There are a lot of people today in places of great privilege whose teachings are rooted in the world or rooted in emotion, or quite frankly, rooted in the occult. And it's been whitewashed and packaged in a way that it sounds appealing and enticing. And when you see a lot of crowds go with that, you go, must be the right way to go. Let me ask you a question, just like my mom used to ask me. If all of your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off the cliff with them? And you need to ask yourself that. If everybody was going that way, would you go that way? Because everybody was going that way, even if it led to destruction. There are a lot of people who don't want to stand alone. But as you watch and pray, God will give you the ability to stand alone if you must. Number seven, you're going to be able to obey God and stay repented up to date. As you watch and pray, God's going to make you very sensitive about where you are spiritually. And if it need be that you need to repent of sin and stay current with your confession so that you can have clarity when you hear the word of God, it's going to happen because you have been watching and praying. Number eight, you're going to be able to appreciate and practice the power of corporate prayer partnerships. You're going to realize that Jesus invited his disciples not only individually but collectively to watch and pray. Nothing is more powerful than when you are mindful with other people what is happening spiritually and praying with other people for discernment for next steps. There's another thing I want to share with you. You're going to be able to interpret world events in light of biblical prophecy. If there was ever a time that you as a believer and me as a believer need to be able to understand what is happening on our world stage, it's now. And if there was ever a time that you and I need to be on watch and mindful of what is happening and where our present events are leading to, it's now. And so therefore, as you watch and pray, you will be able to see what God's plan is. He may not give you the date or the hour. In fact, let me just tell you something. He's not going to give you the date or the hour about when Jesus is coming again. Guess what? It's supposed to be a surprise. At the same time, he will give you the seasons. And you're going to be able to see the season in which we are living and be able to interpret what is occurring in our culture and on our world stage that is ushering us quickly into the second coming of Christ. And that will give you great confidence and you will not be caught off guard, but you will be filled with great joy and expectation when Jesus comes again for you and me. And number 10, you watch and pray, you're going to know where the real battle is fought. It's going to be fought on your knees. Great movements of God have always been birthed from prayer. And therefore, you need to know that's where the real battle is. Read Ephesians chapter 6, and you'll understand it a little bit better. Well, one last thing I want to share with you, and that is the grace to enjoy. What about if you don't watch and pray like the disciples? Maybe you find yourself going to sleep. Maybe in the middle of this service you found yourself going to sleep. Or if you're watching on a couch this morning, you just kind of snoozed off. Or you're at the First Church of the Holy Mattress. You get the computer on your lap. And it's just easy to go, I think I'll pray now. And you just kind of left the audience for a moment. What happens in your own spiritual life if you don't watch and pray? And you end up like one of the disciples. I had to ask that question, and I need to tell you. In verse 43, Jesus goes back and finds these disciples sleeping, and then he lets them continue undisturbed. He didn't wake them up and give them a lot of guilt, did he? Now, he did ask the question, can you watch and pray with me at least an hour? Remember that old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer? You know, I know many of us, we think, man, we've done well. Sweet 5 minutes of prayer. Sweet, well, 2 minutes of prayer. Lord, you know I said hello this morning. Many of us, the concept of even praying an hour seems to be overwhelming. We don't know how long Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he wrestled with taking on the mantle of your sin and my sin. But the disciples couldn't even make it an hour. And I find it very interesting, though they were invited to watch and pray, and they didn't make it long, Jesus had them covered. Let me just tell you something. If you're not able to watch and pray, Jesus still has your back. Can I tell you that? You know, I know a lot of us, when we hear sermons like, this is what I need to do, and I'm just not faithful enough, and I'm not obedient enough, and I'm not committed enough. We can do great pain infliction on ourselves emotionally and spiritually because our flesh, well, it's weak. And you find that's exactly what the Scripture says. But you need to know that he's got your back regardless if you fail. He was just inviting them to stand with them. Stand with him personally. Stand together as a group. And they didn't make it, did they? But you need to understand there's a spiritual principle about the Lord having your back. It's an interesting phrase, got your back. You find it's scriptural too. Let me give you a couple of verses. There in Isaiah 52:12, the Bible says, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." Going before you, you're going to be your rear guard. Listen to this one, Isaiah 58:8. "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." He's got your back. How about this one? Exodus 14, verse 19. "The angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them." What a great passage. So, you've got to ask the question. If Jesus has me covered, why do I even need to concern myself with watching and praying? Here's the deal. Jesus had asked his disciples to partner with him. I think he wanted them to feel what he was feeling, to wrestle with what he was wrestling with, to walk with him as far as they could, to try to get their mind around what he was getting ready to go through. And they missed the moment. They missed that moment all because they got tired. They'd just gotten through a Passover meal. I don't know if they ate a lot of carbohydrates and that's why they were sleepy. I don't know what happened. It wasn't a long walk from the upper room by the front of the temple down the Kidron Valley and up to the Garden of Gethsemane. But apparently it was a walk long enough on a full stomach that night air just invited them to snooze. And they missed the moment. They missed it. They missed the partnership. And Jesus today is inviting you and inviting me to watch and pray for yourself, to watch and pray for someone else, to watch and pray for his second coming, which is on his agenda. Maybe today you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do in your personal life. You're trying to find out, Lord, what's the next step in my life? If there was ever a time you need your eyes open and your knees down, it's today. Maybe there's someone in your life, in your family, and they're trying to find their way, and every way that they do, it's full of pain. And you don't know what to say, and you don't know what to do. And maybe God is calling you to watch and pray for them and ask the Lord to protect them, to help them find the next step, to intercede for them. Or maybe, just maybe, He is asking you to watch and pray as a child of God in a culture that is more immoral than ever before, in a world that is more unmanageable than ever before, that has lost its rudder, but it has lifted as many sails as it can muster and still doesn't know where it's going. If there was ever a time where the church of God needs to watch and pray so that we may know what to do next, ready for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come again, it's now. Kind of like going to a midnight movie for the very first time, isn't it? You may walk in a child, but you're still with the big boys. Your sleeping will reveal your maturity level or your immaturity level. Just don't miss this movie. This is your moment. This is your life. This is our world. This is our time as a church. If there was ever a time for you, for your life, for your family, for our country, for the body of Christ, to keep our eyes open and our knees down, it's now. Why don't you bow your heads? Even there in your house, whether you're watching by television or online, if indeed God has spoken to you and revealed to you, you don't know Him. You know about Christ, but you don't really know Him. And He has the ability to reveal that to you. That's what He does. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He will reveal to you whether or not you know Him. And if you don't, cast yourself hopelessly and helplessly on Christ right now and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you do that? Just say, Jesus, come inside my life. Take control of me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Make me yours. I give you all that I am from this moment on. Thank you for saving me. And in that moment of prayer right now, maybe you know Christ. You've walked with Jesus a long time. But somehow or another, you've been rocked to sleep by maybe your activity or maybe by your inactivity or your own blindness, and you're ready for God to use you, and you don't want to miss this moment for God to use you as His partner to count in this culture, then maybe your prayer just needs to be simply, oh God, help me pray with my eyes open to see what You want me to see so that I can do what You want me to do. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.